And I'd probably have to go live in a bottle.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are live at Die Laughing 2015. We talked with our guest Levi Weinhagen about the pratfalls of being openly atheist, and we made a lot of inappropriate jokes about Bill Cosby.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. We are live at Die Laughing 2015. I am Tim Wick, your host, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And today we have the beautiful and very, very talented Levi Weinhagen as our guest.
Oh, yay. Hi.
Yay, Levi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Levi you do a lot of podcasting.
That's true.
You do a lot of pratfalls of parenting.
Yeah, that's my flagship.
Your flagship, mm-hmm. where you talk to people who have kids and are also entertainers.
Yeah, they're creative in some way. They're
creative.
Not always entertaining.
Well, whatever.
Entertaining.
It's a
right.
good point.
Yeah,
I was on the podcast.
Yeah, Tim's been on.
Can you tell us some of the other podcasts you do? I want people to get an idea of just how often you sit in front of a microphone.
Sure. I have a monthly show called Regret Labs, where me and another comedy friend of mine, Eric McEwen, interview actual scientists and try to admit how dumb we are about science and learn. I have a show called What's So Funny, which is where I interview people about the process of making comedy. So it's a lot of stand-up comics, sketch comedians, improvisers, all kinds of
craft talk.
Yeah. I talked to Bill Corbett on there. I talked to Jackie Cation, touring stand-up. It's a really fun show. I have a relatively new podcast with my all-ages theater company, Comedy Suitcase, and that podcast is called Reason Gone Mad, where we watch a piece of 20th century classic comedy and deconstruct it. So we've watched some I Love Lucy and had Shannon Custer to talk about it. We have a new episode coming out next week all about Sherlock Jr., Buster Keaton's film,
sure.
Featuring Kirsten Stevens, a local awesome mime. So we talked a lot about the physical comedy of that. And I think those are my main current podcasts.
Yeah. I had one I had to shut down.
Yeah.
What was that? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
It was called The Huxtable Proxy. So we were watching every episode of The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And then some stuff came up that made me uncomfortable with The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel good about doing a podcast about it anymore.
That's understandable.
Fair enough.
Because every episode would have been like, what the fuck? And
that's... What did he do to this guest actress?
Nobody
offered you a drink to help you keep going through the podcast?
No, I would have taken it probably. Oh.
Get it?
I really love the concept of Regret Labs. I've listened to just the first two episodes, but just the when you're breaking it down, just like the regret part is like, I wish I would have learned more science.
it's super involved. I love the structure of it. If you haven't listened to it, it's super involved because Levi and Eric get together and they talk about, well, what do we not know about this particular thing about science? Then they bring in somebody to explain the science to them. And then you wait, what is it, like a 2 weeks or a month?
It's supposed to be a week, but it ends up being 2 weeks or a month where we come back and see what we've retained.
And they see what they retained.
Which is very little often.
It's a great podcast. You should really check it out. Also, Comedy Suitcase, they produce all-ages theater in the Twin Cities.
Correct.
Really, really funny stuff. My kids love every one of your shows. It's like every time we get to the Fringe, they're like, is Comedy Suitcase doing a show? Because they know that if you guys are doing a show, they want to see it.
You have great kids.
Yeah.
Really kids
are fantastic.
Kids.
But that,
hey, there's one.
There's one of them right now. We're not here to talk about your shows and your podcast.
Oh, I got to go then.
I know we made it seem like that.
Yeah.
I know we made it seem like that, but actually, we are here to talk about the fact that you are an atheist.
Yes.
Yes,
true.
You are.
Fair.
And
I've recently had... No, yeah. has that happened on the show yet?
Not yet, but I really actually kind of
have you guys heard the good news?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we lost one. So, And when you and I got together to record Pratfalls of Parenting, we talked a little bit about this podcast and the fact that you might be interested in being on it at some point. And one thing you talked about was a general sense of uncomfortability talking about being an atheist.
Yeah. I can unpack that a little bit. And I think it's probably territory you guys have tread upon before.
All right. Nobody listens to more than 10 episodes of this podcast.
We love talking about stuff we talked about before.
Yeah. Nothing like retreading old ground.
We just call it meta. It's
Sure. Yeah. Let's deconstruct past conversations. Right. We'll really evaluate them.
You could start a podcast deconstructing our podcast.
Yes.
Wouldn't last long.
Pods without geeks without God. I think it's all set. Yeah, well, I went through all the phases, you know, early atheism where you're obnoxious and yelling at people about how dumb they are. So I had that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little more introspection about like, oh, well, what does this mean to me and how is this going to affect my life? And, you know, eventually I think I got to a place of like comfortable with my lack of any sort of belief or a need to have a belief. But then also I don't want to give anyone any trouble. Like I don't really like arguing, but I also don't like lying. So those are my those two things bump up against each other. So I will not bring it up just because it's an emotional topic even for me. But then I think one of my baggage elements is a lot of atheists, at least public atheists, are kind of smug a-holes, and I don't want to be that either. I think I am a smug a-hole, but I don't want to be that. So,
you want to be a smug a-hole about different things.
Well, I just want to keep it to myself. That's the most smug you can be, is quietly smug.
Privately, and a smug a-hole.
Kind of smug.
Yeah. Yes. so I think that, you know, I don't do a lot of, I'm an atheist, get out of my way. Because that's what you guys do, right?
All the time.
It depends.
It's funny because we get a lot of people that say, I don't want to be that kind of atheist. I don't want to be an asshole. No, yeah. But they talk about atheists online and just kind of atheists
Reddit
in general.
And
I think that there is a really fine line between standing up and being counted and being a dick.
Right, that's true.
And it's hard to walk that line because it's perception.
It is.
It's completely subjective.
And you don't get
line.
To decide if
no,
you're being
you
a dick.
No, you don't get to decide if you're being a dick.
It's just some people merely existing as atheists, openly or not, just their existence bothers some religious
that
people.
That is true, yes. Yeah.
And so, like, there are some people who are going to be unhappy regardless, and you can't change those people, and those people are just gone, man. Like, they don't acknowledge your existence as like a sentient being, and so be it. You don't need those people anyway. But then there are some people who are it's only going to matter to them if you're as pushy with your beliefs as you feel they are with theirs in some ways. And that's, I'm not a big fan of zealotry. iPhone and Android zealotry, religious zealotry, political zealotry. If you're that extremism, whatever you're super extreme about, is problematic, like ideologically, and so I just try not to be a pushy person.
What do you call someone who's really into zealotry? I want to know. A zealot?
They're a zealot about...
A zealot. Zealotry zealot?
He's really a zealot's zealot. Like
wow.
Man's man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A meta-zealot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what I want to become.
I know I've said it on the podcast before, but the way I kind of look at it, when a lot of people go, oh, wow, you know, there are some atheists out there who are real assholes, and I'm like, well, here's the thing. Let's do a Venn diagram. There are a whole bunch of people out there that are assholes.
True.
And there are
a whole bunch
of people out there who are atheists, which generally means that some of the atheists you encounter are assholes.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not being an atheist that made them an asshole. They started that way.
Well, correlation is not causation. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's very true.
I think for me, I genuinely don't care if anyone's an atheist or not. I don't care. If you're going to, but what I do care about is when someone tries to tell me that I'm not what I am, or that I'm going to hell, or that I'm wrong, or whatever. Because now we have a problem. If you're just going to keep it over there, and you want to be, you want to believe in whatever you want to believe, Buddha, or Krishna, or Jesus, or whatever, that's fine. That's totally fine. What I don't like is when now we have to have a disagreement. We can't just agree to disagree.
Or
I have a lot of friends we agree to disagree on.
Harmful religious ideas, spreading or teaching harmful religious ideas. Yeah. I mean, bad ideas are bad ideas, and they should be called out on it, regardless of whether or not they're religious ideas or not.
Ideas are not above criticism. People, you don't have to criticize, but right. you can criticize their ideas without it being a personal attack.
So hate the sin, not the sinner.
Yeah, yeah, there exactly. we go. There
oh
we go.
My God. I'm so glad. I'm
That's
so glad.
Wonderful.
Hate
That's
the
wonderful.
Christ, not the Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hate the dogma. Not the, so, I don't know.
Dog?
Have you ever found yourself in a situation?
Hold on, let's sit in that. Hate the dog, but not the dog. That needed another beat. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was getting ahead of things. All right.
No, you're trying to keep it moving,
Well, we got an hour. I don't really have to keep it moving.
I don't know about you, but the three of us over here are trying to make a comment.
Oh, we have an hour? Oh, I thought we had a half hour.
We got an
That's
hour.
Awesome.
We got time.
Just talk slower.
Yeah.
So, Levi, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you didn't want to talk about being an atheist, but you were made uncomfortable by whatever was happening, you know, by other people being really open about being religious?
I'm uncomfortable all the time.
Oh.
No, I mean, religious stuff makes me uncomfortable. You know, I go to funerals and I feel weird when it's let us pray because I don't want to pray, but I don't have to lower my eyes. Who cares? Like, why do I even care? But I always have a moment where I'm like, oh, am I being an asshole right now?
Yeah.
Because I'm in this person's space and I should be doing their thing. But like, I don't want to pretend, you know, like if I bowed my head down, then I feel like that's no different than me like donning a clown wig and just being like, I'm pretending. Look at me.
If
like,
you're faking it, that's disingenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't also like, you know, I have a daughter and if she's with me, like, it matters. I want her to find her own way, but I also want to be honest about what I think and how I feel. And like, I love magic, but because of the hard work behind it, I don't love magic that you think is real like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's lots of opportunities for me to be uncomfortable. And I thank all of the overtly religious for those opportunities because it keeps me from being complacent.
And Bill Cosby. So
well, he makes me uncomfortable, and I bet he is pretty religious. I don't know if they're related.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I assume.
But, you know, if he's an atheist, we probably won't have him on the podcast.
He offered, be honest.
Yeah, we probably would have him on the podcast.
Keep it 100.
I'd jump at the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's more.
I'm
if you're
a little
in a
more conflicted. Can I bring my own beverages?
Well, I mean, that raises an interesting question, Molly. Would you be offended if he didn't try to sexually assault you?
Oh,
are you
a
not
a lot of guys have
enough?
Never tried to sexually assault me. So if I got insulted by that all the time, that would be pretty hard. I certainly wouldn't be, and that's what makes me angry. Is about Bill Cosby, seeing people say...
How is this the topic?
No, but seeing people... This relates to it, because it's that asshole on the internet thing. And you see people on the internet who would say this. They would never say this to the people who are coming forward, the victims' faces. But they say, that's just some washed-up model trying to get famous again. It's like, trying to get famous for almost being raped?
There are better ways to get famous.
Is there a lot of work for that? Like,
Has that ever worked for someone?
Is there a casting call that I haven't
seen? Has someone ever become famous by...
Needed 60 to 65 years old, any race, almost got raped. Like, really, like, widespread casting.
I haven't seen that notice, but I'm not keeping up on
it. I don't
get
varieties.
No. I'm sorry, Tim. What were you saying?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
About being uncomfortable?
I didn't even remember.
The more unpleasant moments are when you're in a social situation and you're having a nice conversation and a thing comes up and you have to make that decision about, like, how to describe yourself, and you know you're not being antagonistic, but I always do have those worries that someone will perceive it as an antagonistic thing. I think it's the same for me. Like, I'm a pescatarian now, but when I was vegan, just saying that, people take as an aggressive act.
Oh, yeah.
I stopped saying it because it's not about them, and I know we all just think it's our story, and I think that's a lot of that going on. So a lot of me not saying anything is just because, like, I don't even want to, like... I think you're probably dumb, and then truly I'm dumb too, and two dumb people arguing is the worst thing that can happen. Like,
that's going nowhere.
It's amazing to me how in this, like, with being vegan, or like, there's a bunch of stuff we don't eat, you know, just the idea of someone offering you something and you say no thank you is not acceptable.
I know. Why?
You want to know why not. And it's like, I don't want it. Well, why don't you want it? They're really good. Don't want to eat it. Don't make me eat it.
Right.
Like, And it's similar with you know, like, I had a friend recently and someone she was talking to that they're, you know, they're friends, and he wanted to know if she wanted to go to church with him.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm good, but like didn't know how to communicate without offending or maybe like harming that, you know, budding friendship to say, no, thank you. And that'll never happen. Please never ask again.
Right.
And so it ends up just being this no thank you, and then that's never acceptable because apparently in this society, no thank you is me saying, please ask me why I don't want this, which is unfortunate.
Do you think that's I hate to say like the Minnesotan, like you got to deny something three times before someone actually believes you. Like, do you want seconds? No. Do you want seconds? No. Do you want seconds? No. Okay. No seconds then.
I'll pay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You have to, you know, I'll give you gas money. You have to say it three times. They have to turn it down three times. Do you think it's a matter of assertion where if you're more concrete or assertive in that initial rebuff, that could be shot down sooner or made more clear in such a way that they wouldn't repropose?
I think it feels Midwestern, but I actually think that might be American. Because if I've been to cities that are much more international, you know, even a restaurant that's by somebody from another country, mm-hmm. if you're like, no thanks, I'm good, you do not get a follow-up. It's like, okay, I believe you're telling me the truth right now. I think there is some weird American idea
it's not
of like
a polite decline.
Yeah,
we
I don't
just
know.
Kind of assume people are lying to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And to some degree,
and we are.
To some degree, we don't turn down stuff. That's not the American way to say to not take.
Because that implies you have enough, which is impossible.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, but for real, like it's we eat more. You want seconds? You know, like can I give you gas money? You know, like you want. I mean, you want.
You paid for the buffet. Why are you only getting one plate? That seems wasteful.
No cheese? Are you kidding me? Yeah. We have cheese.
That
right
does
here.
Seem wasteful, Nick. Come on.
But I mean, so to some degree with religion, you know, someone saying to you, someone, you know, you say you're an atheist, and to them that's like you saying no, thank you. To the religion.
Right.
And so they feel like maybe that's you saying, I'm good. I don't need more. I don't need spirituality. I don't need what they consider to be almost like a nourishment to them.
Yeah, it is. You're
and
right.
So to them, they're like, how can you say you don't want this? It makes me feel complete.
Right.
And it
well, what do you
and you're
eat?
Like, you're like, I'm okay. There's enough God in my God-shaped hole right now.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh my God, Tim, you need to eat. Tim. You need, like, Tim, we're worried about
you're
you.
You're wasting away
Tim.
Theistically.
Tim. And so, like it's like a bunch of girls surrounding that one girl they think is anorexic and they're gonna bully her into eating pizza that night. You know
that
like
helps. That
like,
helps.
But no, it's kind of like that.
Not that you've experienced that, Molly.
That is terrifying.
Never.
Jeez, girls are awful.
Yeah.
Teenagers are awful. Actually, teenagers are
awful. Teen girls are worse.
Yeah. Well, they're the worst. Yeah.
Their cruelty is their meanness is cruel.
It's informed. Teen boys are just stupid cruel.
It's like, I hurt you or I hurt your feelings and I'm like not aware that that happened. Teenage girls, it's like, I did
research first.
Yeah.
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 Your aunt died recently. I know that.
I studied your weaknesses like a Zelda boss.
Here's
like,
ladies, ladies, please direct your complaints to nick@geekswithoutgod.com.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's true.
Tell Nick.
No, because men, boys especially, they fight in a more overt physical on the surface way. Their arguments are more, at least even if you're not talking about it, you can tell you're mad at each other. You don't lie. Your friend doesn't go, no man, I'm cool, well, and then act like a dick all day.
It's generalizations and there's always exceptions. I mean, I think we all
realize
that.
Yeah, these are broad strokes.
But at the same time, like, the oldest of my two sisters turned 13 like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
and I'm just like, hey, good luck, moms. Like, like, that's not my teenage problem. Like, I mean, you know, birthdays and holidays, like, it's kind of like more like a uncle relationship sometimes. Like, my brother is more like their big brother because they lived in the same house and stuff. And I never have lived with them and I love them and they're my sisters, obviously. But, 13 and being like Eden Prairie to Minneapolis away seems like blast zone safe.
Yeah. As long as you stay away from their social media properties.
Oh, yeah. No part of it. That's no thanks.
So getting back to the topic at hand.
Teen girls?
Yeah, teen girls. No, we're not talking about Bill Cosby anymore.
Oh,
anyway,
wait.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
So
why is that a tragic song now? That song used to fill me with so much joy.
Oh,
and now it's just a single tear.
The song playing and Levi being forced to dance and like crying like, oh, I don't want to dance
Guys, the
anymore.
First season opens, it's all a van. There's a van and the tinted windows. All the hints were there.
It's all there.
Is it like an OBGYN van? Is it
yeah,
like
it
a
is.
Traveling
yeah.
like obstetrics van? I don't want to get in your obstetrics van, sir. I don't want
to. None of
but
this
I've
is
got
okay.
a delicious hoagie in here. You know, like.
None of this is okay, guys.
None of these jokes are. This is
my
all bad.
Childhood was molested. Let's.
Actual so, people were also.
So
my feelings matter more. I don't care about a bunch of washed up models, Nick.
Yeah, they're just trying to get famous.
So.
I blame Molly for this.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, too.
It's fair. So,
what?
When I found that I tend to say that I'm an atheist not as being an asshole, although a lot of times I think the same thing you do. It's like I'm being confrontational. But to me, it's like.
It's the all caps when you do it is the problem.
Right. And that's not what I'm trying to say. It's just I don't feel that it's fair that somebody else can talk about their faith all the time. And never and go onto the internet and talk about how they are gonna have a right to say that they're a Christian and they're being persecuted in this country even though they're 70% of the population or something higher than that. And if I say, well, I'm an atheist, not screw you for being a Christian, but I am not a Christian.
Well, let's talk on the war on not Christmas because I am sick and tired of everyone attacking no Christmas.
On this podcast, we refer to it as the war of Christmas aggression.
I think a big part of it is that a lot of people view atheism as a negative to religion's positive. And so religion is, I believe, I say yes. I say yes to these things. I agree.
Right.
And
it's affirmations. Yeah.
Affirmations. And atheism is automatically seen as negative. I disagree. I don't. I reject. And so even though they're both equally positive opposed, like someone could say, what a beautiful day the Lord has given unto us. You know, I walked outside and saw his majesty and his works all around. And another post could say, what a beautiful day. I love when we're at, you know, I don't know, like the top of the, you know, the Helio. I can't think of the name. I'm sorry. I don't know.
This example is falling apart.
Shut up. All right.
You need to listen to Levi's podcast.
The spectrum of light I can see in the sky is particularly fantastic today. That was a great sunset because of the smog. You know, whatever. Like you want to say something like, or to say like, it's Easter and you say, we don't celebrate. We're just going to hang out today, you know, just at home, whatever. That's seen as a negative. It's hard to post in a positive way about atheism that doesn't make other people feel that you're belittling, negating, or...
Or even, I think you've touched on it, that there's an absence there.
Yeah.
When for me, there's not, but that is a perception.
You don't get the same reaction when someone says, hey, do you want to come to church with me? And the other person says, oh, no, thanks. I'm Jewish.
Right.
I you know, I've got my religious needs taken care of.
I'm not a monster. I'm just a different person.
That's it. Yeah, like we believe in different things, but we both believe in something. Oh, that's cool.
Right.
But if you believe in nothing, that's like challenging their system.
Well, and you've hit it there too, because you believe in nothing is the idea. Like you hold nothing dear or nothing matters to you.
I think believe in nothing is less accurate than an absence of belief.
Yeah,
because you
believe in tons of things. And we've had this conversation before. Saying you believe in nothing is really wrong.
Right.
You know, I believe in lots of things. I believe in this microphone that's sitting in front of me. No, I believe in love. I believe in that the earth is revolving around the sun. I believe in a great many things. The one thing on which
pumpkin.
We disagree is that I don't believe in God.
Well, and there's that, you know, I believe in just one less God than you. Like, that's it's a pithy thing, but it's actually pretty legit.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. But for me, like, you know, I think right now my Facebook religion is listed as comedy, and I'm not kidding. Like, that's...
Sure.
That's accurate.
That is my viewpoint of the world and how I see the world and how I make a lot of my decisions. Will this be funny? does affect my judgment all the time.
And through that, I mean, if you're going to bring, like, philosophy into it or religion into it, how do you affect the world and try to make the world and the people in it happier or, you know, make the world a better place?
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Yeah.
Sandwiches and comedy. I mean, that's... Because I think that other than being, like, a reason to go to war or a desert survival guide, for most people, religion is... You know, how they cope with stuff or
it's a community tool, too.
Right. No, absolutely.
And so is comedy.
Yes.
That's the thing.
That's why we're here.
Not only is that why we're here, I mean, we recently lost a few of our own. And
outpouring. Bring that up.
I'm sorry, but the outpouring of community for that was incredible. And to see, that was my church. You know, yeah. all those people in a room, and today, and here, this is my church. All these people in a room here to support us, here to support the same idea that comedy should be fearless, that we should push boundaries and all that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's something I can believe in. And as much as any kind of dogma, you know, that we should, that nothing is off limits, that everything can be funny if you write it the right way. That's a kind of dogma.
It is. I mean, it totally is. Yeah.
We just made a whole lot of awful Bill Cosby jokes, and maybe they're funny. We don't know. We'll find out later.
I mean, context right. and intent, but...
So I want to say, so we recently, our good friend Dave Semko passed, and he was, Asatru. So Old Norse gods was his religion, and it was very dear to him and several of our very good friends as well. And we were at his service and at Ground Zero, and everyone was talking, and especially like, you know, toasting to gods and talking about their gods. And I wanted to go up and say something, but I also didn't want to pretend like I was toasting or that it. So I think I managed to talk about being an atheist and yet how being at these sumbles that we'd been at with Dave, which were religious ceremonies for them, but for us, a sense of community instead, that was the closest I'd ever felt to any kind of spiritual connection to something. And it was a, not to like jerk myself off, but to be like, I'm an atheist, but at the same time, like,
Please stop jerking yourself off.
But you know, like, not to be like, oh, you guys, I said a thing and it was pretty eloquent and amazing. But like, I managed to bring up that I was an atheist and not misrepresent myself. But I don't think I sounded like an asshole. And I don't think it was, actually, I'm an atheist and everything you guys have said, I don't believe in. Right. But I guess I miss my friend. It wasn't like that.
No, it was
that
more
would
like...
be an amazing eulogy, though.
Please, Jenna, will you please give that eulogy at my funeral, please? Like, I'm a Christian, but I guess whatever. I miss Molly or whatever. Like, it's burning in hell, but whatever.
I think the difference is you made sure to stress the fact that you were an atheist and you were never denied a part of that community.
Exactly.
You were
never made me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Which is super high praise. Like, I have people in my life like that who, like, there is some deep religious belief system and it really matters to them and I still want to be around them. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. Especially if it's,
and your aunts.
I have a number of Lutheran ministers in my family. And holidays, religion comes up. I don't celebrate holidays religiously, but they're religious to them. And it really isn't a point of tension at all. It just doesn't come up because we're family first. And they pray and they can I'm sure my grandfather says like, Jesus loves you. I think my mom told my grandfather that wasn't really my bag, and his response was like, "Eh."
Right. Yeah. But you're not being a dick to them either. You're not like mocking them the whole time. Like, I think that's the
not in the habit of picking on old people.
It's so easy. They can't chase you.
Yeah, they move so slow. So,
coming for you, Cosby.
So have you?
It's gonna age out.
Have you ever run into a situation, Levi, where you've been in that position where you've been offered or it's come up in a conversation and you've said, no, actually, you know, I'm an atheist, or no thanks, and there's been a negative reaction or any hostility or anything like that?
Only really like online. Years ago, I was pretty much a stay-at-home dad, and so I was blogging a lot because that's, you know, it's a very lonely time. and I was writing about at least every couple of posts, there'd be something about religion or atheism or something. Mm-hmm. And there was someone who had became a regular reader of my work, but was always coming back at me about the religion. Piece, and I didn't want to like shut it all down, but it became really repetitive, and I was like, "We're not doing anything. Just stop reading my things." Like,
let it go.
It's
man.
Fine.
Like,
yeah, I think part of the problem was for her, we lined up in so many ways, and so it really bothered her that we had this big difference. But like, I think she had like her religious stuff informed some decisions about like vaccinations and stuff. And so like, I knew if I got really into it, I would be like, but you're doing harm.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you should say I should have done something. But that's my gig.
I don't believe in should.
What's our job? You know, I'll argue with anti-vaxxers all day long because I think they're stupid and I think they're wrong.
It's not true.
Because I'm an atheist, but because they're stupid
you're a parent
and wrong.
Too.
Because I have two kids with autism, and vaccines didn't give it to them.
Right,
and
it was lack of hand washing.
I wish it was that explainable.
Yeah, and it's just
that'd be amazing.
It's just stupid. I think the thing that is a challenge whenever you say, whenever you get ready to say out loud, I'm an atheist to somebody, even if it's in the most innocuous way possible, I sometimes...
Innocuous vaccination.
Yeah.
Nice job, Tim.
I have the concern that they're going to say, why? Or why don't you believe in God? It's always like, am I going to have to defend this statement?
Right. Which is really, I mean, scientifically, the onus is on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have a great track record for coming up with proof and evidence.
That's not the point.
That's a good point, because can you imagine if any time someone expressed any sort of faith to you in religion that your response was, ooh, why? Or, you know,
the hard part for me is there. I'm really curious about that. Like, yeah. I like reading about all the world
you
religions.
You ask a daily question. You're an inquisitive fellow. I feel like that's a word that describes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And innocuous. That's there too.
Nice shot.
But I honestly do want to ask people why, but not in a how dare you. Like, I'm curious about their path. You know, were you born into this? Is it that thing? Is that, you know, the same reason people like weird, gross food? You know, like, I grew up with it. I'm sure I would hate this if I was, you know, in any other context. Or why we all speak English, you know, like, just because of where we were. And there's a lot of that in religion. So I'm always curious about, I do want to do that why. So I get a little bit of the why, how did you get there? And I think there are some people who ask it in a really sincere, like, oh, you're an atheist. Were you raised that way? Or did you come to that? Did you read a book? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Did something happen? You know, that is interesting to me.
Yeah, and I think it is an interesting conversation to have. And I think that there's the fear that that's not why you're having that question.
Yes. It's, did you know? It's about, there's a conversion concern.
It's a question, and then there's that implied, but your caveat that's because.
Or
I've
why,
got some
what's
good,
wrong with you? Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to you that caused you to.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it
faith?
A priest who molested you? And, you know.
And like, I do worry sometimes that I am going to be an asshole when I start to have that conversation. Like, we were in San Francisco recently, and I don't know what it is about San Francisco, but it seems like the Jehovah's Witnesses are everywhere in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And they're standing around, they've got their little books, and they want to talk to you really, really badly. And I'm always like, I don't want to talk to them, because what I feel I'm going to say is, you know what? I know some ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and you guys are dicks.
No, you're really fucking up human beings.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have birthdays, right?
They don't have any holidays.
That's the worst. But
no, the worst is when a friend stops being a Jehovah's Witness, or when a family member stops being a Jehovah's Witness, they cut them off. And I'm like, that is the most horrible thing in the world. First of all, you create this insular community where everything you know is other Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And then even if they still believe in God, but they decide they'd rather be Catholic than a Jehovah's Witness, they take every bit of that community away from
you. That's the Scientology model, too.
Or they want to get a divorce because they're in an abusive relationship, or they are coming out as gay, or any number of things where they can totally not even lose their faith, but circumstance is just dealt them some hand where they are about to get ostracized and cut off from everyone they love, their entire family, their entire social support structure.
Or they choose to do it because they choose to go into JWs
and
cut off from their non-JW family.
And it's, I mean, the people we've had on the podcast who've talked about it, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. It's like, my sister doesn't talk to me anymore.
Well, we had James Zimmerman on, and when his sister came out, that's when he was like, I can't do this. Like, they ostracized his sister, and he was like, well, then that's it. I love my sister. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
She's perfect, and she loves God, and I don't understand why this is happening. It was like, well, she's broken. And it's like, well, no, she's not, so I guess I'm broken. So we're all leaving.
Well, that's always curious to me when those sort of religious ideas don't evolve a little bit, even just to sort of keep themselves relevant.
Yeah.
You know, like which I guess is how you would think about it. If you're not really, like, I'm always like, but where's your progress? You know, but I feel like I'm surprised when that doesn't happen and you don't make that happen.
I have to make a correction. I just realized I mixed up James Zimmerman with a person we know named Marcus who was a Mormon.
Oh, right.
I just mixed stories. My apologies.
No, you're right.
Yeah, James Zimmerman, it was his best friend.
It was his best friend. Yep. Similar.
Best friend who worked in the same building as him, and he had to not talk to him anymore.
But I think
it's just like,
Levi,
wow,
that's an interesting point, though. Adaptation to modern ideas as different things in society become acceptable, you know, on a larger scale or not, and religions that don't adapt to that are kind of destined to be left in the dust, right, aren't they?
I mean, they're also being the most true to their principles. Like, it's a real conflict. Yeah.
I don't know if I can admire that.
You don't like someone digging into their shitty heels?
Well, I mean,
if
someone is really adamant about a good idea or has a good reasons for it, you know, sure, I can admire that, I guess. But like, if someone's like, no, I refuse to good thing, then right, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that.
No,
at all.
Me neither. But
I feel like if there was anyone who actually followed the Bible to the letter, and didn't
AJ Jacobs?
That would be a horrible human being. I mean, really, it'd be a horrible person who followed the Bible to the exact letter. But the idea that
they'd be
already,
in jail
already. Like, I mean, already in society, every religion that has an ancient text, they are choosing which parts are relevant now and which parts are irrelevant, like not wearing mixed fibers and, you know, stoning and, you know, cutting off hands and all that Old Testament, you know, the stuff that's in Leviticus.
Regarding women as equals.
Yeah, and even parts of the
Let's
Quran,
get rid of that garbage.
Parts of the Quran are now being said, that's not downplaying that. We're looking at this instead. And to me, so you're already saying you're more moral than the God that wrote the book that you're supposed to follow to the letter.
Right.
So now I have a problem because you're already deciding for yourself. Why are we clinging to the book? Why are we clinging to this part and not that part?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
There's a book, and I can't remember the author, but it's called The Year of Living Biblically.
Yeah, A.J. Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
And it is
it's really
literally
good. He stoned someone. He carried little pebbles with him so he could throw a little.
He spent an entire year trying to live exactly.
Yeah, it's a great picture of him letting his side hair grow out the whole time because you're not allowed to cut the
forelocks.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's really good. He's done a bunch of those sort of human stunt books. I like them all.
Yeah. It's a really fascinating read when you go, wow, you really have to do a lot of weird shit if you want to live exactly.
Well, it's Ned Flanders. Even the ones that contradict the other ones.
Yeah.
You can't follow all those rules because someone else picked up where, you know, it's like a shared Google Doc. Like someone else started writing
exactly what it is.
And then someone else didn't go check and they're like,
brilliant.
This might have been covered, but the wording's different. You know, like
there's four voices in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
If you take classes, they teach you there's specifically four distinct voices from four, and they're hundreds of years apart.
And that's just the New Testament, I think.
Then there are four Gospels and they're all different and they all tell different stories of Jesus and they don't all agree.
No?
What's that party game where, you know, you write like a paragraph at the top of a piece of paper and the next person
fold over story
where it's like a game of telephone but it's a written story. It's kind of a
back to the original topic, Levi. I'm curious, have you ever told have you ever
this
had
is why
someone,
our podcast is only 30 minutes long.
Have you ever had someone a situation where you decided you were going to say you're an atheist and you were comfortable?
I became comfortable. It's still a sweaty moment. I don't know why. I mean, we've talked about why. Yeah. Obviously, I know why. I mean, there's been, even like my in-laws, I didn't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, we never had a conversation, but they don't have any religious structure. They're out for all intents and purposes atheists. I don't think I've heard
non-practicing, whatever.
I haven't heard them use the word, but I don't think they bristle at it at all. Sure. And I've used the word and there's no problem. Like, it's not a conflict. Which is awesome because it really matters. Like, they're with my daughter a lot. I'm with them a lot.
Yeah.
If that came, I can't imagine. There's so many people who have to wade through that stuff all the time, and I think I would be much more belligerent than I am if I actually had to deal with it a lot. Most of the people in my life that I choose to surround myself with, it's just a non-issue. You know, the closest I come is my mother, who is. Essentially, I was raised on The Secret. That was essentially my upbringing. And so, like, but that one's, that's easy to dance around for me, except it's so upsetting, like, because she, you know, doesn't have any money, because that's what happens when you believe in that weird stuff. I mean, it's just a religious pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's fine, which is weird. It's weird that I have any, like, I don't bring it up a lot. But I hardly ever have had any real problems bringing it up. I think except online, where it's much more, you're distanced from everyone.
Oh, yeah, it's the great internet fuckwad theory.
Yeah, it's,
anonymity makes everybody an asshole immediately. Like, I think each, I think everybody has found themselves at some point. Maybe you didn't post it and you went, oh boy, and deleted it because you're like, that was too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone, that screen just makes it so that you can say whatever you want.
I have written a lot of posts that I have erased
yep.
and gone, oh. Yep. No, I look like a real fucker yep, when I write that.
That was mean. That was just mean.
That was just mean.
I don't always not post that or delete
that's
that.
True.
And that's
you
something that's
not.
Like a New Year's resolution for me this year is yep. like is like internet reputation management in the communities I'm a part of, like the geek Twin Cities geek community and comedian community to some extent and Renaissance Festival. Those people, there's some woo people there, and
yeah.
I'm like seriously trying to just like. Not get into an argument and just preemptively block a person because we'll never agree on these sticking points and they're not worth my time and aggravation.
You can't not argue.
And I can't not argue.
Love arguing.
And it's I'm so ENTP like
his mom's laughing.
Arguing. I do. I really enjoy arguing and people think it's
I hate it.
Fighting.
I hate it so
and it's
much.
Not fighting. It's debating. It's an exchange of ideas and an evaluation of beliefs. And I think that's healthy. And some people that is really aggravating to them. And so I can choose to rein that in by just removing that person from my view online. And then in person I can deal with them as a human being because I don't that anonymity buffer, that not having to see, look them in the face when you're saying things that might be mean or not mean, but just aggravate them too. I don't have to deal with that whole side of things.
But can I tell you my favorite instance of it being fine saying
yeah.
you're an atheist?
Yeah, please.
Is I don't even remember how I met them, but my daughter was the same age as this other family's kid, and they were in common, so then we started hanging out. You know those weird things? You must have that, Tim, where you're just like, I don't know that we would ever be together normally, but this, our children are
yeah.
together,
oh,
so
sure.
suddenly we're having a conversation. And the dad, he was a minister, mm-hmm. and that always just makes me a little nervous, because like part of me is judgmental, and I'm nervous about that. I'm like, why am I being an asshole in my head right now? And then, but then... you know, I wanted to have like a sincere conversation with him, and you know, it's his work, and that you talk about your work, and that came up, and so I was like, oh, I'm an atheist, and he was totally cool about it. And I've had that with a bunch of people who are actually pastors or ministers, and I don't know if it's the kind of people I'm around or what, who have been just normal about it, just mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, that's interesting. You know, I have this stuff, and you have that stuff, and it's, you know, we can talk about it.
Your presence doesn't threaten them.
Yeah, right, yeah, I think there is something to that.
They're secure enough in their beliefs where your non-belief isn't a threat to their ideology.
Right,
which
but
is how it should be.
But they're not coming after me either. Never
yeah.
as
yeah.
never as a couple of those people I've known have they ever been like, well, have you considered, you know, like
maybe if you came to my church. It would all make
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. Well, I always feel like anyone who's threatened by me being an atheist because I don't believe and they do, to me that just seems like an insecurity on their part.
Shaky faith.
Like it's
they
like,
might be wrong.
It's
There's,
right.
Yeah.
No, and if you really have faith and you really do believe in what you believe in, then it shouldn't matter that I don't. That shouldn't be seen as a threat.
What's amazing is it's a lot like that blue black dress, white gold dress. It is. The idea that you're looking at the same dress and you see a different color, now my whole world is thrown into confusion because how are we looking at the same picture and seeing different things? And that's basically what it is. How are we looking at the same world and I see the presence of a creator and you don't? How is that happening? And it fucks people up.
Well, it's you're wrong versus not for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a comedy problem I have too. It took me way too long to realize, like, I don't like Family Guy. That doesn't mean it's not funny.
Yeah.
All those people who laugh at it, they're right. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
There's a nuance to that it gets lost in all kinds of conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't want to be, you might
anything
be wrong.
Anything subjective.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we have had a great talk, and it's time to move on to five questions. Yay.
Yay.
Have you pre-read the five questions, Levi?
I think so.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll see how I do.
We'll see how we do. Question number one, Nick, why don't you go with that one?
Okay, so what's the best movie, movie theater, Netflix, TV, whatever, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was the newer version of Judge Dredd on Netflix.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I didn't
Carl
expect
Urban.
To be awesome.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
They,
so good.
Like,
they,
beautiful and good action. And
It's everything Dredd should be. I mean, violent, a little bit irreverent, and like it's just one dude against a city.
Yeah.
And that's
dystopian nightmare future.
Yeah, yeah.
Like pretty graphics on them.
Yeah, and the drug slow-mo stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. And the actress who's in Game of Thrones and Sarah Connor Chronicles, I can't remember her name, Mama. She's great, good villain.
Really good.
Yeah, I liked her as a villain.
And some sweet deaths in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, if you liked that, if you liked especially like the action scenes and stuff like that and the very claustrophobic fight stuff that happens. A lot of the fight and action scenes in Dread were inspired very heavily or influenced by The Raid.
I love The Raid, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And man, like, one of the best action movies in the last.
Oh, that movie is awesome.
Did you see the second one?
The Raid 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The car chase, like, best car chase since Bullet. Like, it's so great.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think everyone should watch Dread and The Raid, like the and The Raid 2.
Yeah, definitely. And Dread's streaming easy to access. Yeah. I know I watched on Netflix.
I didn't expect it to be good at all. It was one of those like, I guess. And then,
yeah, and you know the good thing, the nice thing with being a geek and having a lot of geeky friends is you can discover those kind of things because they'll all talk about it. They'll all be like, dude, you really got to go watch Dread, and you're like, really, really.
Why do you have to ask them three times, Tim? If they told you.
Because geeks have notoriously bad taste.
That is true.
Carl Urban is all about doing a sequel. Like, everyone involved wants to be a sequel, and it's totally just a matter of, like, studio money and support at this point. I would love to see another
one. It didn't do great in theaters, I don't think.
No, it did terrible.
But it did really well on DVD sales.
It's doing really well on secondary markets. And Carl Urban, you know, I've been on board with since Lord of the Rings, but honestly since Star Trek, because he nailed Bones in the Star Trek movies.
I think so. Liked it.
Yeah, he's the Keith Urban of actors.
All right. Question two, who is your favorite atheist character?
I have to pick two, and I feel like they might both be pretty common, but Sherlock Holmes and The Punisher.
Interesting.
Sherlock Holmes and The Punisher. That would be a great crossover comic.
Oh, I agree.
That'd be a great slash fic.
I will.
Right?
Wow, I have a huge boner right now. I will say
I forgot the logistics.
I feel who's in charge?
Yeah, logistics are elementary.
I will say I feel a little bad picking two atheist characters. They're both sociopaths.
Yeah.
So like I don't love that baggage. Yeah. But yeah, I have a tattoo of the Punisher, and I've loved Sherlock. I reread Sherlock every year since I was a kid. Like they both.
Do you have a favorite Punisher? Like Welcome Back, Frank, or
I love the Warzone books.
Okay,
actually,
great stuff.
Those are all really great. I mean, for me, it was the stuff in the '90s where you know when I got
Garth Ennis.
There was Garth Ennis stuff. Yeah. There was Joe Lee, I think.
Jay Lee.
Jay Lee.
On art, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's great. Have you there's this wonderful Punisher moment in Civil War where in the Marvel comics where he Punisher has, you know, been killing people, go figure. And
that's new.
That's what he does.
The superhero Civil War going on and Cap Punisher kills some supervillains because they're supervillains and Captain America is like, "No, they were kind of on our side of this Civil War," and he's beating the shit out of the Punisher, and the Punisher is just not lifting a finger and not doing anything.
He can take some pain.
And Cap is like, "Why won't you fight back? Like, come on, man! Like, I know what you're made of, Frank Castle." And Punisher just says, "Nope, not against you."
Wow. Yeah.
Just like because he's got convictions, he's got
everything's black and white to the Punisher,
right? And then Cap would obviously be, you know,
he's the White Knight.
Yeah. Right. Totally.
Yeah.
So. just because, you know, we talked about The Punisher for a minute. With Sherlock, I mean, do you like the BBC series?
I really do. But I have this problem where even the garbage show Elementary still will watch that. Like, I love I love Sherlock Holmes so much, I just want the stories to be told. I like the movies. I don't care. Jeremy Brett is my TV Sherlock.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's
Jeremy
my favorite.
Brett's awesome.
But I really like I like the BBC stories. Yeah. I like the modern updates. Mm-hmm. I think they've used texting in really interesting ways.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just that character's so compelling to me. I want to keep seeing those stories told and retold, and I'm not mad at any of them.
I'm there with you. All right.
And there's a new Sherlock movie,
a new movie
as an old man.
Yep.
Which looks like it might have magic
with Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's going to be a good thing too. All right. So, question number three: what is your geekiest hobby?
Well, this was. I have this thing where I feel like a geek imposter. Even though I just said I have a Punisher tattoo, so I realize that. But I was saying that to my wife the other day, and she said, "You read books about magic." And not The Gathering, like the performance art.
Awesome.
So I think that might be the geekiest thing. Like there's a great book called Sleights of Mind about the science behind how you trick people with magic.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. I love Ricky Jay books. Yeah.
Do you like Darren Brown?
I love Darren Brown.
He's some of my favorite stuff.
He's doing really cool.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Ricky Jay documentary that's on Netflix.
I haven't seen it yet. I really want to.
It's so good.
Don't spoil it.
It's so good.
He throws cards.
Yeah, well, but like, you know, he talks about like how card tricks have like racehorses, they have like lineage. They have, you know, I learned this trick from this guy who learned it from this guy who learned, you know, this is my like heraldry of.
Oh, the cup and balls have that too. Like, there's a whole history of this guy did this and he had these kind of cups, and like, it's really fascinating.
And some of that stuff goes back to like the 18th century.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. When people thought it was real.
Yeah. It's
Suckers.
Great. Question number four is, what is your favorite sandwich?
Well, this is also weird. I love an egg sandwich, but if I'm being honest, my favorite sandwich is peanut butter, smooth. Sorry.
Well, you know, it's a preference thing. It's all right.
It's all right. A strawberry jam on a cinnamon raisin bagel, toasted. And then inside, a bunch of also actual raisins just jammed inside with it as well for a texture thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm not saying try it. You might not like it. It's fun. I don't need you to. But
a little sweet and desserty.
Yeah, it's desserty, and I like it a lot. I almost never eat it because there's like no turning back. Hmm. Like, I'll keep eating a bunch of them.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
If once you eat one, you got to eat five.
Yeah, they're like chips.
If you get
sandwiches.
Like a bag of six bagels,
yeah,
you're going to eat all six bagels.
Yeah, is that bad?
A bag of Lay's sandwiches that you're
We had a get someone who wrote in with their questions who had their favorite sandwich was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a sunny side up egg in the sandwich, and we tried it. It was good.
That sounds gross, but okay.
Well, we've determined on this podcast that a fried egg is a level up for any sandwich.
I agree. I will put an egg, not just a sandwich, on anything.
Yeah.
Fried egg levels up.
I had a fried
food.
Egg on short rib the other day, and it was
that was
did
so
it
good.
Did it level up the food?
It did.
Well,
all right,
right.
So question number five: what's the stupidest or maybe most dismissive thing anyone's ever said to you about being an atheist?
I think my favorite is. How do you get your morals? Or like, how do you know right from wrong? You know, like, well, because my mom told me. Like,
it's,
you know,
it's by far the most common thing we get.
When you do something wrong.
Right.
Yeah. No.
But that one is like so dumb to me and so common and just, you know, like, I don't know. Does it hurt when someone does it to you? Don't do it to someone else. Like, that's not that rough.
And we've said it before, but it's such a terrifying idea that there's all these millions of people who, if it wasn't for their religion, would just be murdering and doing whatever they want all the time.
But, like, they wouldn't. If they didn't have their religion,
that's the thing.
They'd still be good people. Yep. They're not good people because of the religion.
Yeah, Julia Sweeney talked about that really well.
Are good.
Yeah, she did. Yes.
About,
yes.
She thought when she was losing her faith, could I just kill someone? And she's like, oh, wait, no, I'm still a human. You know,
I'm still, I'm not an asshole.
I have
still
empathy.
Not an asshole.
Yep.
What is being determined there.
That's going to be the name of my comedy special. Still not an asshole. Molly Glover, Comedy Central.
Coming to HBO.
2014.
Time traveling.
I'm going to get two things wrong with that.
Yeah. All right, Levi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me,
live here at Die Laughing. We really appreciate it. We will definitely put links to all of your wonderful podcasts on the show notes for this show.
And go to tcpods.us to see all the podcasts in Twin Cities.
Including this one, I believe. That's right. Yeah, you can find out all the podcasts in the Twin Cities right from there. We are going to record another live podcast later today. Of course, if you're listening to this when I post it.
Suckers!
Too late! But other than that, we'd like to thank our audience for joining us, and we will catch you on the podcast next week.
Donate at dielaughing.com. DieLaughingMarathon.com. You people who are here now, because we're still doing that challenge.
And you people who are listening later, because we'll probably still have the donate button up left.
Yeah,
thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
What really makes me sad is how much I used to love eating Jell-O pudding pops.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Nick and I share
it's
a head.
In my head.
Yeah, terrifying. We share it.
I don't like that at all.